Wow, well, I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to follow after that. What a powerful song. Truly, I feel like I could just pray and say, all right, well, that's all we got today, and that would be just fine. I feel like we have been able to meet with God through song certainly today. I want to thank you so much, praise team, for leading us in that. But I do feel like God wants us to look at His Word together today as well. And so, again, if you have your Bible, hope you brought those along with you today. We're going to be in, guess what, 1 Peter. I know, it's strange, isn't it? I think it's week 8 or week 9 we have been in this book. We're going to begin chapter 4 today. And as you're turning there, as you're getting ready, as we're just thinking and reflecting about what God's already done in our lives this week, what God's already been speaking to us during our song service, I want to just ask that you would pause with me one last time as we open up God's Word and pray with me as we begin our time together today. Let's do that now. Father, we are grateful for being able to use our voices, Father, to speak words of truth, God, about who You are, about what You've been able to do in our lives, how You've defeated death, You've defeated sin. And God, our hope, our victory, our purpose, it's found in You and You alone. And God, we praise You for that. We praise You for Your love. We thank You for Your love. And Father, we also thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You that while it is an ancient writing, while it was written many, many years ago, Father, it is so applicable to our lives still. God, it is living and active. And God, I believe that You want to do a great work in our lives today as we study it, as we consider it. And so, Father, help us now as we enter into this time to just be expectant to see how You're going to move in our lives, how You're going to speak into our lives through the reading and study of Your Word. And God, we look forward to those things. And so, God, cast away any distractions right now. Cast away anything else that is buying for our attention. And instead, will we be focused solely upon You, solely upon how You want us to live our lives as exiles, as believers. And God, that we would walk out of these doors transformed by that, changed by that. God, I say all of this in the name of Jesus, His name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you know anything about me, one of the things that I really just want to make sure I'm always doing is I'm always staying on time. In fact, this is crazy, I know, but contrary to popular belief, I was the one that asked for that clock to be put up there behind you. It was not the deacons. It was not. I know those rumors are out there that deacons put that up so I wouldn't go. So let me just clear that out. I'm the one that asked you to install that because I'm a big believer that we need to always try to stay on time because time is just one of those things, right, that I believe is very valuable. Now, let me just also say this before we keep going. As far as the sermon length, I don't care if I keep you long on that, okay? I'm going to preach what I feel like I need to preach. But I am very aware of time and how time is a gift. It's really one of the greatest gifts that I believe we'll ever receive in our lives. Because the reality is this, we only get so much time, right? Are you aware? I mean, we only have so much time. And I know if you're a high school student or you're a college student, you may not think that's a very big deal. But listen, I'm only 30 years old and I'm already realizing just how quickly, right, time kind of escapes us. How it just seems to go faster and faster the older we get. And what I want us to begin to understand this morning as we prepare ourselves to look at this text in 1 Peter chapter 4 is that in many ways, our lives are kind of like a coin. Okay, I have a coin. I wish I had a bigger coin. I know it's not very big, but in many ways, our life is like that. Right? We've been given this life. And listen, we can spend our life however we want to spend it, right? No one can tell you how to spend it. You get to choose how you should spend it. And to be honest, the world has a lot of ideas as to how we should do that. The world would tell us, listen, spend your life and try to live the good life. Try to climb the corporate ladder. Try to drive that fancy car, live in that nice house, have all of those nice, comfortable things and just live the rest of your days in that way. That's how you should spend your time, the world says. But listen, church, while those things aren't inherently bad, if that is the only way that we spend our time, then we have missed the mark completely of what it means to be a follower of Christ, to live the life that God has called each one of us to live. Because again, as exiles, as believers, God wants us to use our time to make His name famous, not our name famous. You see, that's the whole purpose as to why we were created. Scripture says that we were created by God and for God to glorify Him. That's how we should be using our time. And yes, God wants us to enjoy our time. He wants us to enjoy our life. He wants us to enjoy the time that we have been given. And nowhere in Scripture does it say elsewhere. But He also expects us to be good stewards of our time. He expects us to maximize and leverage the time that we've been given on this earth to live out the mission that He has called each and every one of us to live. So we must be wise in how we spend it. And I tell you all of that this morning because as we approach 1 Peter chapter 4 today, time is one of the key thoughts that Peter writes about here. In fact, Peter uses this word twice in the six verses that we're going to be looking at today. And before we read the text, let me just give you another key thought that Peter has about in this text as well, and that is the will of God. That's another key thought that Peter talks about here. And so as we look at this passage, what I want you to understand is that the overarching theme of this passage is this: with whatever time you have left, use it to accomplish the will of God. You want to hear my sermon in one sentence? That's it. In whatever time you have left, we don't know how much it is, right? Or how little we have left, but whatever the time we have left, use it to accomplish the will of God. Look at how he talks about this. Beginning in verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 4, he says this. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding. Because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the Gentiles choose to do, carrying on in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards. Now, as I just mentioned, Peter's main focus here is on how we should use the remaining time we have left. And so with that idea, with that understanding, what I want to do today with our time together, no pun intended, is I want to talk about four ways that we can make our time count. Four ways as believers, as exiles, how we can make our time count based upon this passage. And so the first one that Peter talks about here in verses 1 through 6 is that we resist sin. That's the first way that we can make our time count. Now I know that you're probably thinking that's something that a preacher would say, right? Resist sin. But what I want you to see is that Peter actually describes how we do this in a very specific way. And it's basically by modeling our lives, and in particular, our thought lives after Jesus himself. Look again at what he says in verse 1. Let me show you this. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, that's what Peter just got done talking about in chapter 3. We talked about that last week. Arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin. Now that phrase, arm yourself, is a military phrase that literally means to be prepared, just as a soldier would prepare himself, that he would put on his gear, he'd pick up his weapon as he kind of marches off into battle. That's kind of the idea that Peter is talking about here. But notice what he says in relation to what we are to arm ourselves with. He doesn't say, listen, it's hard out there and you're in exile and people are going to say bad things to you. So grab your gun, grab your knife, get ready for that. No, he says, arm yourselves also with the same understanding. Or if you have a different translation from mine, it might say something along the lines of this. Arm yourselves with the same mind. And watch this. If we connect this part of verse 1 with the beginning of verse 1, then it becomes very clear whose understanding, whose mind we are to have in this, and that is Christ Himself. Because you see, while Jesus was fully God when He walked the earth 2,000 years ago, He was also fully human, meaning that He was tempted to sin just as you and I are. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, we have an account of this, right? As Jesus goes off into the desert and He's tempted by Satan himself. Yet despite those things, even in His suffering that He endured on the cross, He always resisted sinful temptations and never once sinned. And so what Peter is saying here is that we need to arm ourselves with that same type of mentality. Because just as Jesus focused His thoughts and time on fulfilling the will of God, fulfilling the mission that He had been called to live out as exiles and believers, we are called to do that as well. We are to resist sin and have almost a militant attitude towards sin, just as Jesus did, so that we can use the time we have left to pursue the things of God instead of the things of man. Okay, so waging war against sin, resisting sin just as Jesus did, that's the starting point, the foundation. If we're going to make our time count, then we have to have that attitude towards it. And we have to resist it. We have to call it for what it is, realize it's keeping us from who God's called us to be, and we have to have that type of attitude towards it. But now Peter's going to get to the heart of the passage and tell us that if we truly want to spend our time wisely, if we truly want to make our time count for the kingdom of God and make an eternal impact for Him, then we must also live out the will of God in our lives. We must live out the will of God in our lives. Look again in our text. We'll start back at verse 1, beginning of it. Peter says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin in order to live the remaining time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. Now, I will be honest with you here. Within this section of this passage, Peter's going to use a phrase that oftentimes is misinterpreted, oftentimes is misunderstood. Look at what he says at the end of verse 1. He says, because the one who suffers in the flesh is what? Is finished with sin. Now the question we kind of need to ask ourselves as we look at that is, what is exactly Peter talking about here? I mean, what is he mean? Is he saying that if someone's willing to suffer for Christ, then they won't resist sin? And not only will they not resist sin, but they'll somehow be finished with sin forever? Well, the obvious question to that answer or that question is no. Right? All of us are going to struggle with sin. Rather, what Peter has in mind here is that when someone resists sin so much so that they are willing to unjustly suffer as a result of the life that God's called them to live, just as Jesus did, then that's proof that they're no longer pursuing sin in that moment, but are pursuing the will of God instead. And then notice what Peter says right after that in verse 2. He says, when someone is living out that type of life, they can use the remaining time in the flesh, no longer for human desires or for sinful desires, but for God's will instead. In other words, you're never further from the will of God than when you pursue sin. But you're never closer to the will of God than when you resist sin and you're willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, because in that you're going to find the will of God. Right? Did you catch all of that? You're never farther from the will of God than when you are pursuing sinful things, the things of the flesh, but you're never closer to the will of God than when you're willing to resist it and you're willing to suffer, even if it comes to it for the sake of the gospel. And listen to me here. If you want to make your time count in a way that would honor and please God, then you need to start investing your time in discovering God's will for your life and trying to figure out what that is. And I know that for many of you here today, whether you're young or old, that's always kind of been this mystical thing of what does God want me to do? I don't know. What is God's will for me in my life? But I am here to tell you today that if you have repented of your sins, if you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then and you're seeking to live a life that would honor Him, then you are well on your way to being in the center of God's will in your life, because that is His desire for all of us. And as for the questions of what profession does God want me to go in, who does God want me to marry, or where does God want me to live, I truly do believe that God's going to show you those answers too. He's going to open up some doors. But He does that in a lot of different ways, through the Holy Spirit that lives in us, through His Word, through prayer, and really, in my experience, through other believers. Our job is to be patient and spiritually be put in a situation where we can hear from God in these ways. Okay, so again, if you want to make your time count to advance the kingdom of God, then you must first resist sin. You must live out the will of God in your lives. And then thirdly, Peter says that we must renounce our past. You must renounce your past if you are to make your time count. Oh, look at how Peter describes this in verse 3. He says, "For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the Gentiles choose to do, carrying on in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry." Now that's a list right there. That is a list. And listen, I could spend time kind of unpacking what each of those are talking about, but I think that you understand the gist of what Peter is trying to say here. He's basically saying, you've already wasted enough time in your life living in the desires of the flesh. You've already wasted enough time in sin and being outside the will of God in your life. And so Peter is saying, renounce those former ways of living and use the rest of the time that you have left to do the things that God has clearly called you to do. Can we just stop and be honest with ourselves for a moment? And because I'm afraid a lot of us have this idea that we can still be a Christian, we can still be an exiled believer and keep living in our sinful past, our sinful history, even after we've accepted Christ into our lives. I know for myself personally, this is something that, just to be honest, I struggle with sometimes behind closed doors, and to really live the life that God's called me to live and not to go back to my former ways of living. And I am well aware in a room like this, those of you watching online, that there are some of you right now who are struggling with anger, with some type of addiction, with alcoholism, bitterness, jealousy, pride, pornography, substance abuse, just to name a few. And listen, I want you to know, we serve a God who loves us and shows us grace when we fall prey to those things, when we fall prey to those temptations through what Jesus did on our behalf. But Peter's point here is that if we're going to maximize the time that we have left to fulfill the will of God in our lives and to further His kingdom, then we must renounce those things. We must finally come to a point in our lives and say, enough is enough. And for all of us who are just dabbling in that little sin here and that little sin there and think it's no big deal, no one has to know about this, you must realize that at the end of the day, whether you've been doing that for a couple of days or a couple of years, if you have been living in the things of this world that are keeping you from the will of God, then that is enough. That is enough time in doing those things. What I find interesting is that every time we come across a list like the one that we just read in 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a couple different ones. Every time I come across a list like this, I always see within that list a section that's kind of phrased in a way of saying that you used to be like this. You were once like these things that I'm describing here. And that's certainly the case that Peter has in mind here, right? He's saying, get rid of those things. When we look at similar lists in the Bibles, that's kind of the idea that those have too. But what that should tell us is that if we are a believer, if we are an exile, our lives should no longer be defined by our former sinful lifestyles. Because when we are in Christ, we are made into a new creation. Or as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that when someone places their faith in the gospel, their old life is gone. And their new life begins in Christ. You are transformed. Not just inwardly, but also outwardly. And that's what Peter's point here is in the text, that we should wage war against our sins, that we should denounce our old ways of living prior to Christ coming into our lives, that we should use the remaining time we have left to serve Him, to discover His will for us in our lives, and to make His kingdom known and not ours. Church, if we want to use our time wisely, in a way that would please and honor God, then we must resist sin. We must wage war against sin just as Jesus did. We must think like Jesus thinks towards those things. We must carry out God's will in our lives. We must denounce our old sinful selves, our old sinful habits prior to accepting Christ. And then lastly, we must seek to reach the lost. If you want to use your time in a way that it'll count for the kingdom of God, then you must reach the lost. Look one last time at what Peter says in our text, beginning in verse 4. He says, "They are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards." Now, the word that I want you to focus your attention on is the word "they." Notice again, just look at your text, how many times Peter uses just that one word, just in verses 4 and 5 alone. Again, he says, "They are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead." So question, who is they? Who is Peter referring to here? Who is Peter talking about here? Well, who he has in mind are your unsaved friends. Who he has in mind are your friends who you used to live a sinful lifestyle with prior to your conversion when you committed yourself to Christ. Because if I were to guess, for many of you, your story goes something along the lines of you were living in that lifestyle of sin with your friends. But then one day, God radically transformed you. He radically spoke to you, and you accepted the gospel to come into your heart, to come into your lives. And so you quit the partying, you quit the drinking, you quit that sinful lifestyle. You pushed all those things aside because God's called you to a new way of living, a new way of life. And so you're in pursuit of those things. But for many of you, you started attending worship services regularly. You started having a consistent quiet time with God. You started going to different Bible studies that maybe met all throughout the week, and you started serving in the church. But as great as all that was, and as much as you were growing in your faith, your friends begin to think something about you. Your friends begin to say, you know, you're kind of strange. You're kind of strange. We don't understand why you would abandon your old way of living and why you suddenly act like this changed person around us. We're always trying to get you to do this and that, and you used to do those things, and now you're saying, no, I don't understand you. You're strange. And so frustrated, and knowing that you seem to be living this new way of life, they not only think you as being strange for being a follower of Jesus, but over time, they begin to mock you for it. Like, wow, you're just going to go to those Bible studies, huh? You're little Christian friends. You're just going to leave us behind and go do those things? And they mock you. They begin to poke fun at you and your new faith that you follow. They begin to ridicule you. All because you've embraced the transformative power of the gospel in your life and you're no longer pursuing the sinful way of living that you once did with them. But listen, as wrong as that is, if that is true in your own life, as undeserving as that is, then we really shouldn't have to deal with that and endure it. But even in those things, we should be patient with them. We should be patient and continue to preach the gospel to them through our words and also by how we live our lives, in particular around them. Because what Peter does here at the end of this text in verse 5, he says there's coming a day when all of us are going to have to give an account to God Himself. We're going to have to stand before an almighty God and give an account of how we lived our lives. Well, that's going to be a glorious day for those of us who have placed our hope in Christ, that He lived a life that we could not live, and so God will see us as being holy. That's going to be the worst day in eternity for your unsaved friends, for those who are lost, because they are going to experience the full wrath of God, and they are going to be sent to hell itself. Therefore, if we want to make our time count on this earth, then we must use the remaining time that we have to pursue and reach the lost. We must seek to try to open their eyes to the things of God and help them realize that if they don't ask Jesus to come save them out of their sinful way of living, then they're going to experience eternal consequences as a result of those things. If we do that, we can have a clear conscience. We're literally living out the will of God right there. God wants us to do those things, knowing that we've used the time to try to point unbelievers to Christ. And then after that, we let God be the judge. I mean, again, that's Peter's idea in verse 5, that you let God be the judge of all things. And then to close out this section of chapter 4, Peter reminds us in verse 6 of those who have died or those who maybe been martyred for their faith. That certainly was the case back then when Peter wrote these things. And though those people experience undeserved suffering, though they experience being slandered against and even in some cases dying from their faith, Peter points out that they are living a full life with God Himself. They are in the presence of God in heaven and they are receiving their eternal reward because they use their time wisely. They use their time in a way to make it count. And so church, the question for us today is this. Are you just counting time? Or are we truly making time count? Are you just counting time? Are you just killing time? Just kind of going through the motions? Are you truly making your time count? Are you just kind of coasting through this life, living a life that's familiar to you, living a life that's comfortable to you? You like your little box. You know what's how everything is. Are you truly seeking out the life that God has called you to live? And yes, those things may sometimes be scary, but are you pursuing those things? Don't just spend your time. Invest your time. Make your time count. Because the best of your time is when you use the rest of your time to invest your time in doing the will of God. You know, sometimes when I am preparing and writing out one of my sermons throughout the week, I'll get this feeling sometimes that God's trying to speak to me and God wants to just speak into the hearts of those who hear that message. And listen, I don't mean for that to come across as kind of being prideful that I have all these fancy words and I can just do all these great things, okay? That's not what I'm trying to get at all. I want to be a man of God who's just preaching the Word of God. So this is not original to me, and I want you to know that. Rather, what I mean by that is that sometimes when I prepare for a text that I'm going to preach on, sometimes when I study for a passage of Scripture that I'm going to preach on, the Lord will just begin to impress in my heart the importance of what I'm about to preach on. He'll impress on my heart and just kind of reveal to me the weight and sort of the significance of what I am talking about. And you know what? Just to be perfectly honest with you, I felt all of that this week. I felt all of those emotions as I was preparing for this sermon. Because as I look out in this world, as I look at the news reports and turn on the TV, I'm becoming more and more convinced that we are truly living in the last days. I don't know exactly what that looks like, and I'm certainly not going to stand up here and begin to predict when I think that's going to play out exactly, but what I am telling you is Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back soon, and we don't know when it's going to be, sure, but I'm telling you, it is soon. It's written on the wall. Church, in other words, the time that we have left here on this earth, it is limited. You don't just get this overabundance of time and you can just use however much you want to. The time is limited. And listen, you may live a full life, but you may not live another day. None of that is guaranteed. None of that is promised. Only God knows those things. My point is this: God wants us to make the time that we have left to count. He wants to use the time that we have left on this earth, not to waste it, not just to count time and twiddle our thumbs and live a comfortable life. He truly wants us to invest in our life, to maximize our time, to leverage our life, to leverage our time to make His name known and to glorify Him. So to close our service today, we're going to mix it up a little bit. I hope that's okay, because I think this is how God wants us to do things. Instead of me praying right now as I normally do, and then I'd come down front and we sing a song of invitation, and some people come forward, some people don't, and then we close out the service that way, we're going to kind of mix it up. Because instead of me praying and us doing that, instead of us singing a song of invitation, I'm going to ask Kristen, if she will, to come up, and she's just going to play on the piano for us. And I'm going to ask each of you, I'm not just talking collectively here, I'm talking to each and every one of you, I'm going to ask each of you to honestly do something today that's going to make you a little bit uncomfortable, more than likely. Because in a moment, I'm going to ask you to either come down to this altar and pray, or I know in the world that we live in today, maybe we can't all do that. Maybe you just do that in your pew, or you just find a place where you feel like you can do that. But I'm going to ask you to respond today. I'm going to ask you that you would pray with yourself, with your family, with your friends, whoever you're sitting close to and around, that you would pray that you would make your time count. That you would be done with this whole, I'm just kind of living my life the way that I really want to, but that you truly would invest your time in the way that God would want you to, because the time is short. The time is limited. We don't have time to just decide whether or not we want to do this. We have to do this now. We have to get this right. So if you've not placed your faith in Christ today, if you've realized that you're going to be held accountable to the way that you've been living, the way that you've been living your life, then I want you to come forward and pray that over to God, asking that you would receive the good news that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will accept you. He will embrace you with open arms. He will cleanse you of all sin, and you can use the rest of your time to live the life that He's called you to live. Maybe you're here today and you're a believer. You're a follower of Jesus, but truth be told, your thought life, those things that you stuff your head full of, the junk of this world. You know what I'm talking about. You realize that you're far from the purity that God has called you to be, the type of purity that He's called you to have in your mind. And so if that's you, then I pray that you would use these next few moments to give that over to God. Say, I'm going to cast those things aside. I want to think like you. I'm willing to suffer for you, Jesus. I'm willing to live out my life for you, Jesus. Whatever it takes, I'm willing to use my time for you and you alone. If that is you, then I pray that you would respond. Maybe you've realized today that your faith is just in the context of comfort. It's not that you're not a believer, it's just you just live a very comfortable life. You come here on Sundays, you listen to the message online. Maybe you get involved here and there, but there's been no true transformation taking place. You've truly not lived the life that God's called you to live. And maybe you've realized you need to let God take the reins of your life instead and say, God, I'm just going to go wherever you tell me to go. I'm going to serve wherever you tell me to serve. I'm going to do whatever you've called me to do. And I'm going to use the time I have left to serve you and not myself no more. Maybe your behavior, it's just totally off kilter. And you act one way here, but you really live a double life when you walk outside these church walls. Maybe you live one way when you're on a business trip than when you do at home. Maybe you live one way at school than you do at home. Maybe you're living in a way where you care more about your friends and what they think of you than what Jesus does, what Jesus thinks of you. And so you're constantly compromising your faith. You're constantly falling into peer pressure, doing the things that are sinful, that are keeping you from living out God's will. And you've realized, I got to renounce those things. I got to start using my time. I got to make my time count to do the things that God's called me to live. Listen, if any of those things describe you, then they are keeping you from living out the time you have left in a way that would be pleasing to God. They're keeping you from resisting sin. You can't resist sin. They're keeping you from living out the will of God. They're keeping you from renouncing your past. They're keeping you from reaching the lost, to fulfilling the great commission that God has called not just me or this person or that person, all of us to live out. So right now, I'm going to ask you to do something uncomfortable. But I'm going to ask you to step out on faith, step out of your comfort zone, and come kneel down. Come pray at the altar before an almighty God and give those things over to Him. Say, God, I want you to use me. I want you to mold me and make me into the person that you want me to be. I want to use my time in a way that would further your kingdom and not my own. I'm serious. If that is you, then I want you to come forward right now. Come forward right now. If you just need to pray in your pew right now, then do that. Do business with God right now. All we're going to do is we're just going to let Christian play the piano. I don't want to sing words. I'm not interested in words right now because I want your thoughts solely fixed on your life, solely fixed on what God is calling you to do. And so do that now. And when we feel like God has done what He needs to do, then we'll sing a song. But right now it's between you and God. Nothing else. If you need to come forward, then you come forward. If you need to pray in your pew and you feel like more comfortable doing that, do that now. And listen, if you're having those thoughts right now of, I don't know if I should go or I shouldn't, that's definitely not from Satan. That's definitely God talking to you, saying, no, you come. You come right now. You use this moment. You use this time to follow after me. However God is leading, you do that. Do that right now. Do business with God, and then we'll sing.